score!
Straight down the middle. It went
this is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to another season of Backspin. I know that was kind of weird. Another season of Backspin Golf. Right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. We're starting a month earlier than usual because I couldn't stand it anymore. I need to talk about golf. And I've gotten so many requests to start. And I want to thank everybody that comes up to me in Kroger or sends me tweets. When is Backspin starting? Well, it's starting today. I'm really glad you're with us. And right off the bat, I want to say thank you to our partners, French Lick Resort. Once again, we're going to have a big contest. I'll talk about that more as we go along. Edwin Watts Golf, they got great stuff going on over there. And of course, Lexington Parks and Rec and the five great golf courses we have here in Lexington, including my home course, Kearney Hill. We're going to start off with a bang. This show is dynamite. Many of you don't know who Jimmy Walker is, so I won't even go there. Sean says, no, don't go there. To start off, once again this season, Perry French from Cleveland Golf Strixon will join me every week. And we'll start off with him. And then a special guest, one that's very dear to my heart. My brother Mitch Lawrence will join us. He has a new venture. It's fantastic, and he'll tell you all about that. And then our buddy Dan Hauser from Florida, he's down there. They're on the Florida swing now. They just played Honda. We'll talk to him, and we'll just have a great time for the next hour talking about golf. So wherever you are listening, I appreciate you. Thanks for being with us. And we'll be right back with our buddy Perry French right here on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Now, joining Matthew on Backspin Golf is Perry French, PGA professional and territory manager of Strixon Cleveland Golf.
The thing I'm most excited about starting Backspin Golf for this golf season is, and as I said in the open of the show, we started a month earlier than every other year. I needed to get back. People have been asking me, when's Backspin coming on? Which is awesome. I've been getting tweets. I see people, a guy in Costco the other day said to me, you're the guy that does Backspin Golf. Yes. When is that starting? So I told him. Anyway, the thing I'm most excited about is that I get to see on a regular basis. Friend is not even the word. He is crucial to the success of this show. Is this enough?
Am I building you up big enough? Right,
our guy, Perry French, from Strixon Cleveland Golf. Hi, bud.
Good season to you. Golf season early. It's been an early season as weather goes, and here we are early with the show, so it's kind of one of those things, hard to believe.
I know.
You know, but it's going to be fun to get the ball rolling.
Oh, good one. All winter you worked on. Do you have a whole list? To make lists.
Absolutely. I try to get this game on program.
All right. Now, before we start, so here's what happened to me. Because we've had some warm weather,
right,
I've been able to play maybe three times in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
We've had those weekend days, 55, 60.
Bonus golf.
So last time I went to play, I look in my bag. I only have played at Kearney since.
Yeah.
So I looked in my bag, as I always do before I put them in the car to go play, and I'm missing my gorgeous Strixon red graphite shafted A wedge. My gap wedge.
Yes.
My 85, 90 yard wedge that I use for chipping around the green also. It's not there. Mm. I look all over the garage. I look in the car, in the trunk of my SUV. Maybe I took it out and let... No, not there. Then I realized that the last time I played at Kearney, I left it around the green somewhere. Mm-hmm. I used it to chip, put it down, put it out, probably a one putt. And my...
Yeah,
what's
good.
So funny?
That's good.
And the cart was on the other side of the green. And I walked to the cart. It's gone. I called the pro shop on my way over there. Guy says, I'll check. I go to check in. Not there. So here's the first thing before I read your tweet that I want to say. Well, here's what I texted you. I said, would you happen to have an A wedge that I could get from you? Because I get all my clubs from you, Strixon. I left it next to the green at Kearney a couple weeks ago. And somebody took it. Because when I went in there, it's not where they have all the lost clubs. It wasn't in the pro shop. Mm-hmm. Somebody picked it up and rather, as you should, return it. Say somebody left this, yeah. as we all do. You do it and I do it. Mm-hmm. They took it instead. So I'll let you talk in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, I'm listening. Here was your response. You'll have to order this.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Now, for your Ask the Pro segment, which is a great idea. Maybe we'll do this every week.
Yeah.
Question, where is the best place to leave your wedge when you are around the green? Answer, says Perry French, where you or a playing partner can see it on the green, with three exclamation points and a smiley face.
It's one of those things
that happens
on a golf course. We all leave clubs. We all have conditions, certainly when we're riding, because most all of our golf is played riding. That's a drawback of riding.
Right.
You don't have your bag next to you, and you're not interacting.
You're not picking it up on the right back.
Carry your bag, you're pulling your cart, you have it there, and you typically, people who do that do not leave clubs in the golf course.
Right.
We all have been there. We've all said, hey, you're leaving, you left the club over here. And one of those things that is a, hey, I always, as when I'm playing, I use the flag stick as lay the club on the flag stick because at least someone's going to pick it up. And if someone in the group grabs it, you're not going to get too far before you get it reclaimed. But as it does, you're done. You chip inside the green, you lay your putter, your wedge down where you chip from, pick up your putter, and you're on about your business. And maybe just in the fringe, it's not off the green, but it's to the point wherever you were from the chipping that you didn't see it. When you go to leave the green, and of course it's gone, and then unfortunately, too many clubs don't get back to their rightful owners. It's a weird phenomenon. It's like pens in an office place. How does it?
Yeah, but it's different. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Okay.
Rant coming.
It's coming, and I feel very strongly about this because I know we have a lot of people that listen that play at Kearney or any of the great five courses with Lexington Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of these people. They say it to me when I'm at Kearney.
Yeah.
I love your show. Hey, listen to the show. When's it coming back on? Golfers who take other golfers' clubs should hurt themselves so badly they never play golf again. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, it's
here's
it's,
the thing. Do you believe in karma? In golf karma?
Sure. Absolutely.
You can't use a club that you've stolen, because that's what it is,
yes,
from another golfer. You will never hit a good shot with it. The head might snap off when you hit a ball and injure somebody. I'm almost done. Don't take clubs from other golfers. Okay.
Absolutely. That's certainly part of etiquette. That's the word. And
yes. Integrity.
It's just a sad state of
a sad commentary.
Yes.
Yeah, on the times we live
in. The game of golf and those who play it, you would think would be more governed by.
Right.
Hey, you know, when I was talking to you about that this morning, was saying, well, maybe it'll show up a little later. The person who picked it up
doesn't
put it in
realize
their golf
he
bag,
put it in his bag.
And they, because of the weather, they haven't been playing much golf either, but sporadically, and they'll find it, it'll show up, which has happened occasionally.
Occasionally. And you're showing
and
a great deal of faith
I
in your fellow man.
I am trying to be positive about that.
Yeah,
not
I'm
that
positive. Somebody stole my freaking A wedge that I lost.
And there we go. So there's our first, you know, we'll call it
Ask the Pro.
Ask the Pro, but actually let's be better at playing the game of golf. Things that you can do to improve the game of golf, and that's one thing is speed
right.
of play. Don't lose your clubs. Leave them where
right.
people can see
I'll
them.
I'll tell you
get
what
some
I
help
think happened.
And
actually.
Help your other golfer.
Here's what I think happened, actually, knowing myself. Because it's the winter, and I haven't practiced,
sure.
and I've actually played pretty well without playing or hitting balls or anything. I probably had one, and you've played enough with me, I probably had one of those, I'm saying 12 yards off the green.
Yeah.
In some kind of, because the rough, even though Kearney is, the shape it's in is amazing.
Right.
Probably I was in a place I shouldn't have hit the ball.
Yeah.
And I probably maybe chunked my first chip.
Oh.
You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, sure, sure.
And then I got up to it where it was, still off the green. I was upset, got my next one on the green, but left it 20 feet from the hole. So now
and
I'm looking at a 20-footer for bogey, maybe.
Yeah, you tossed your
and
club aside.
I don't throw my clubs.
No,
I never
the
do
side
that.
Over to
but
the...
I might have just been upset and gone, ugh! And like just dropped it right there
you
and walked
off. You didn't gently lay on the green. Because if you'd have clipped it up there within 2 or 3 feet of the hole, you'd have walked up probably to the hole to pick at both clubs.
I wouldn't have
hand.
Even used my putter. Yeah, I would just putted with my A wedge.
Well.
So here's the moral of the story.
Yeah, there you go.
I need to practice my chipping, and then I wouldn't leave it there.
There's a lot of morals in that story.
Boy, we're off to some start to this golf
Woo!
Season.
Holy
What's
next?
Cow. All right. Here's what's next for you, Mr.
Uh-huh.
Pro.
All right.
And I want to get to, before we finish our segment this week, I want to talk about the new things from Strixon that are coming out.
Fun.
Okay. Here's my part two of Ask the Pro. So most people, we've been lucky maybe a couple times this winter we've gotten to play. But you haven't played all winter.
Right.
You haven't hit balls, even though we have heated bays at different places around here.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go out and play. What's the best way? If you know you're going to play Saturday and it's Monday, you should get out and hit some balls maybe before you go play.
Well, certainly anytime you get a chance to practice. I think the biggest thing when people find their way with a chance to practice, we had an hour or three,
right?
That they immediately go to the big bag and try to find their driver game. And this is not the time of the year to try to find your driver game. It really isn't. You want to, first of all, make sure you're loosened up. And that's hitting some short shots. Really practice that 30, 40, 50-yard pitch shot. And
right.
you might, if you have a large bucket of balls, which is about 70 or 80 golf balls, you might get 25 of them that way.
Right.
You know, different distances. And just kind of see how your short game is and your judge of distance. You haven't done it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're probably, when you go out to play, you're going to be a little rusty and you're going to miss a lot of greens.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have a lot of different chip shots. And if you practice that shot, there's a chance that you'll have some success
you
right out of the gate. Right
gap
out of the
wedge.
Gate. Well, no, you probably have used a lot of gap wedges, but you'll have a chance to have hit that shot and you won't be frustrated and you'll probably do some things that will help down the road.
Right.
You know me. I am always advocate of practicing your short game. But that's where you're on the range. You want to hit some golf balls and then see the ball fly. But warm up that way. So that one-third, that last story that I remember reading about Jordan Spieth and his warm-up routine before a round of golf. Now, this is not in
right.
a practice session. You know, he had 119 total shots, of which 80 were hit less than 100 yards.
Wow.
You know, that's a lot of just tempo, and that's before you play. It's a great way to warm up because you're just doing that. You're not trying
and
to overpower it.
But it's against everything we do. Like, most people hit two balls with a wedge, two balls with a six iron, and then get
there. You
the
go.
Driver.
That's the and if you go to the driving range to practice in a true practice session, you will probably, if you don't have your bag, but you'll have two or three different levels of clubs. But I always start short, tee up the full swings at first, your seven irons, to get yourself loose.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't want to be banging on the ground, especially if you're hitting off mats. A good way to get hurt before you even start the year. You know, you've kind of clumped into the a couple of bad swings, and you hurt your wrist, or just
right.
you're not going to feel good about what's gone on. So I think you should try to warm up that way. Go short to long. And the way you finish up your practice session is, bring out the driver, tee him up again, your tee-up shots, that's a good way. I tell you, the first day out of the first practice session out of the gate, I wouldn't hit a ball off the turf. I'd hit it off a tee, be it short to
that's
medium
a really
to high,
good idea.
And just keep this work on the swing, get loose, don't want to hurt yourself. Again, if you haven't been to a whole off season to stay active, whether it's working out or stretching, mm-hmm. that's one of the things, at least hitting balls in a short to long fashion will help you kind of be loose by the time you do finally hit your last 8 or 10 shots with the driver. And more than likely, you'll have a better chance with tempo and right. hit some better shots. I think the thing about everybody's practice is you want to kind of get something that triggers your mind into this is what I'm I remember being I was good at this. I had some success.
Right.
And if you're not finding success, it becomes very frustrating. And I think you'll find yourself having a lot more fun practicing. And then when you go to play, it's a great way to be sharp when the game's not very sharp.
Ah, okay. Yeah. There's another something you know, thought about over the winter.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get out of here today,
yeah.
you mentioned we have some new stuff with Strixon.
Yeah, the neat things come from the PGA Show. Just happened last month. A lot of buzz about the product lines. We're having some great feedback on the new irons that came out in the fall, the 765 and 565 forgings, along with the 355 that you play, continue to give us a wide reach of player profiles to, mm-hmm. to really enjoy improvement, feel, and looks of golf clubs. Really been a fun winter and spring, early season start on it. But the golf ball is the big news, and as typically golf balls make more news than most.
Right.
The new Z-Star and Z-Star XV, great improved golf balls for the players playing the ultra premium golf ball. The tour players are seeing 7 to 10 yards longer on the XV. We saw Matsuyama drive it a long ways during the.
By the way, I got to stop you for a second.
Okay.
Our guy Matsuyama, our Strixon guy. He's fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, on his game for sure.
Have you seen all the videos? Every time he swings and he acts like I do when I hit a bad shot.
Yeah.
And he hits it 4 feet from the pin.
Well, that's typical of the tour
pro.
He
does it all the time.
He's not the only one that does
I'm
it.
Like,
it.
Holy
he's,
cow.
He kind of lets his hand for club and it lands 6, 8, 10 feet from the hole. And it's just, yeah.
Anyway,
they're more precise. They have higher standards.
Yes,
than we do.
They do.
Even
yeah.
though we have high standards of how we want to play or yeah. think we're going to play. But the last piece of the puzzle is the new Q-Star Tour. This is a golf ball that fits 55% of the golfing public. Players between 80 and 95 miles on driver club head speed.
I'm surprised it's only 55%.
Well,
I thought it was higher.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, you got to think about that the landscape of a lot of players 90 miles an hour or 95. You know, there's a lot of players who hit 100 that aren't. They just don't have much control over
right.
it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
This is just a raw club head speed data. It's a 75 compression, which helps launch the ball easier and higher. We put this new dimple pattern on that's on the new Z-Stars. Less drag. This golf ball is flying longer and carrying longer, but it's all urethane, which means it's a high spin golf ball in your chips and pitches and feels very soft
so
when you putt
control.
It. More control. So typically this player who's not hitting as many greens as you'd like, you have a lot of chip shots, but you use a distance ball because of wanting distance,
hit, right.
you're not
going
to give it distance now. You're going to be able to control the golf ball around the green when you have your shots that are scoring shots and have a really good golf ball that's
okay.
going to perform off the tee. And it's $29.99, so it's a great price. And that's
I want
a market.
Some. I'm getting some.
They're coming in April. That's what I say. It's coming
okay.
in April. So
right.
The season will just be starting. It's only
okay.
a month away.
All right. Okay. Good. All right. Well, it's so great to see
Yeah, it's great. So golf season's on the other corner.
It's great to
You're listening to Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. We've missed a couple of water hazards on the front nine. Now let's see what the back nine has in store for us. Back to Matthew Lawrence.
Well, what better way to kick off the season? First Perry French, and now my brother Mitchie. I affectionately call him Mitchie. His name is Mitch Lawrence, and let's bring him up, and then I can go through how we get a hold of him, because it's very impressive. Hello, Mitch.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, hey, Mitch.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. Are you just breathing heavy into the phone, or are you in a wind tunnel? What was that?
I'm sitting in my car. There's
right.
nothing going on.
Well, turn the air conditioner off, then. It's blowing really
off.
Loud.
It's off.
All right. Okay.
There's nothing going on.
All right. Okay. All right. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Happy birthday. You just had a birthday. That's
happy birthday
cool.
to you.
Oh, yeah. It was my birthday,
too. It feels really weird being 40, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm 41. Wait a minute. How are we twins and you're 40?
Well, that's as much of a lie as that we're 40 or 41.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, I'm gonna tell our peeps how they can listen to you. And it's very impressive. And then I want you to explain a little bit more about this. My brother Mitchie is the co-host and co-producer of the Talking Golf Getaways podcast. And that is part of Golf News Net, of the Golf News Net platform. And we love Golf News Net. My buddy Ryan is the bomb. And you can also hear it on Audio Boom, iTunes, or Stitcher, which I had never heard of because I'm so old. But you apparently have moved into the digital age, the podcast age, in a big way. So tell us a little bit about Talking Golf Getaways.
Well, it's really exciting for me. As you know, your listeners probably may not know, but I've been doing my own podcast for about the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And they were interview shows, which I loved, had great guests. And that was on the Golf Getaways platform. Mm-hmm. That's where I was doing it. And through circumstances, golf has wont to do.
Yes.
I met Ryan Ballingy from Golf News Net. We went and played golf here in Myrtle Beach. And we spent 4.5 hours talking, and he realized he needed a travel component to Golf News Net.
Mm-hmm.
And we loved the Golf News Net site and everything Ryan was doing. And in an incredibly short amount of time, my partner, Darren Bunch, who's out in California, and I decided that we wanted Golf News Net to be our home. So that's what we did. We started the first podcast, went up, and it's called Talking Golf Getaways because that's what it's about. It's literally the only podcast that is specifically dealing with golf travel, golf destinations, lifestyle, and the like.
Mm-hmm.
And we did our first podcast that went up on November 14th, and this week we are celebrating our 50th podcast.
Unbelievable.
In a pretty short amount of time, and we've had, you know, unbelievable guests, and we've talked about places all over the world, and it's been a blast, and it continues to be a blast. We're loving what we're doing, and Golf News Net is great, and there's a lot more good stuff coming.
Yep, we've had, I met Ryan through Twitter, as I have most of my golf peeps, and he's been a guest on our show many, many times, and so that's really cool that because I happen to feel pretty fondly about both of you, so that's a good thing.
Well, that's good because we wouldn't be able to do it if you didn't,
yeah.
As you know.
Well, you wouldn't be on this show right now if I didn't. I can tell you that. All right. Now, I'll talk more about this, and I'll keep reminding people about these podcasts because they really are fantastic. And as you said, there's no other place deals specifically with this topic of golf travel and destinations and things like that. And I've listened to some of them, and I get very jealous, number one, because you're my brother and you're going to and talking about these amazing places. But you are about to embark now on a trip to Bandon Dunes in, I believe it's Oregon. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. And correct. Now you're going, you and Darren are going, are you going to do a whole thing out there on Bandon Dunes?
Yeah, we're going to, actually there's four of us on our little team that are going, Darren and I, and then Brian Orr, who's our photographer, as we say, golf photographer extraordinaire, because every time we do, we take a drink of scotch. Brian's going, and then Jason Deegan from Golf Advisor, who's a good friend of ours who went to Scotland with us the summer before last, is also going. So there's the four of us are going to be hanging for about 8 days. There'll be a lot of content coming out of it. We're going to try to do, and hopefully we'll be able to do, a live podcast. Normally we record them, but we're going to try to do a live one of the nights we're there from the Bunker Bar at Bandon Dunes.
Oh, that'll be fun. A bunch of drunk guys from a beautiful bar at a great golf course. That'll be awesome.
You don't think it will be?
No, I just said it'll be awesome. I wasn't being sarcastic. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're never sarcastic.
No, I'm not.
No, so that'll be great. And then Darren and I will be interviewing some people and talking to actual, you know, just regular golf travelers who happen to be abandoned. That's what we like to do, is kind of connect people who are not on the PGA Tour and not associated with that kind of golf, but just people who come to play. And so we'll be doing a week of Bandon related things. We actually have a Bandon week with guests coming up on Talking Golf Getaways, and that's going to be fantastic.
Wow.
Too. I hope everybody listens to that. But this one, we'll be back March 10th, and it'll be probably a couple weeks after that. We'll put up all the stuff. There'll be a lot of great pictures. I'm going to do video. I host the video stuff that we do, so we'll be putting those up on Golf News Net. It's a lot of content that we'll be generating. It. What I have to say, up to now, because there's a couple new ones coming, but up to now is by far and away, not even close, my favorite golf resort in America.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't even know if I knew that.
Well, it is. There's no place like it of any place I've been. Stream Song is inching closer in Florida. They're building their third course, and that's a fantastic spot. Mm-hmm. But Bandon is literally in the middle of nowhere. It's 4 hours' drive from Portland.
Yeah.
So I'll be leaving Myrtle Beach at noon, and I'll be arriving near Bandon at midnight, which is 3 a.m. my time, and then still have a 4-hour drive. So this is when you go to Bandon, it's a commitment to get away. There's 4 unbelievable golf courses on the cliffs overlooking the Pacific. There's a new Coren Crenshaw par 3 13-hole course called the Preserve.
Huh.
There's a multi-acre putting green called the Punch Bowl, which is where you go and hang at night with a scotch and a cigar and draw with your friends and bet, and, you know, all kinds of things. And it's completely secluded. Once you get into the resort, you don't have to ever leave it.
Wow.
Great restaurants and great lodging. And, you know, it's a dream. It's all really right. A dream trip.
I can meet you there. And by the way, thanks for the invite.
Talk to Darren.
Oh, all right. Darren set it up. All right. Now, speaking of Darren, I saw on Twitter, is there a big, like, grudge match play thing happening there between you and Darren?
As you know, I play only hickory.
Yes. Yeah, I do know that.
I turned Darren on to hickories a few years ago, and he's become even more ridiculous than I am.
Yeah.
And over the years, we've had two, we call them Mashy-paloozas. We've had two of them. One at Lake Las Vegas, in which I came back from a 4-down deficit after 5 holes. And then one at Bandon the last time we were there, where Darren beat me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a rubber match. We're going to play a Mashy-paloozas on the Preserve on the short par 3 course, which is stunning.
Yeah.
And there'll be a lot of woofing and a lot of jawing and a lot of trash talk. And I already told him, as you saw on Twitter, I said he's going to need a psychologist when I'm done with an abandonment.
Yeah. Now, it's 13 holes, you said, par 3, right?
Yep.
Well, that's good, because that means I could shoot like 60 there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And nobody would ask me. This is what I always say. Nobody ever says, how many holes did you play? They just say, what did you shoot? So,
no, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. This is a really cool spot. The last of the par 3s, you can literally putt off the tee down to the green if you so choose.
Wow.
It's straight downhill, and you have to do it, you know, between two bunkers and over rolling links land.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait. It wasn't there when I was there last time, and the punch bowl wasn't there. So I'm looking forward to some new experiences.
All right. Well, this has been great, and it's a great way for me to start this season in Backspin and have a great time out there. And I'm jealous. I hate you. But I also love you because you're my older brother. So
that is the contradiction that is Matthew Lawrence.
Thank you.
First of all, before you let me go, congratulations.
Yes.
On another season.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm not saying this because I'm your brother, but mm-hmm. It's a really great show. It's always fun and always interesting, and you have great guests. And people in Lexington are really lucky to have you on them.
Thank you. Really, thank you.
You're welcome.
That means lot to me. All right. I'll talk to you. Thanks.
I'll talk to you from Bandon.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, great. Thanks.
Bye.
See you.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their 5 public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Here we go, peeps. Golf peeps, it's a new season, first Backspin of the year, and This show is just phenomenal. And the reason it's phenomenal is because one of the people I'm going to talk to is Dan Houser, my guy, my personal guy down in Florida. He's with Country Clubs. Hold on. Don't be laughing yet. I'm not done. CountryClubsInFlorida.com. He's a senior writer and editor. And he also just picked up another cool job. He's with Lynx Magazine now. I think the Twitter handle is at Lynx Magazine and LynxMagazine.com. So he's becoming a huge force in golf journalism and the digital world. Hi, Dan Houser.
That's quite the introduction. How's it going?
Well, you know, I've had a whole winter to get ready for this, so I'm fired up. I am just fired up. All right.
Let's go.
You're fired up too. We got a lot to cover. I wish we had like a couple hours, but you join me frequently, so we'll get to most of it. But I want to start with you. People that listen to me on the show, Matthew and Mikey, every day here know how much I hate Johnny Miller. And I figured rather than start off slowly going into the new season of Backspin, let's just get right to a real hot take here. Johnny Miller on Sunday at the Honda, where you've played, you've been on that course, you live down in Florida, he came out and basically trashed Ricky Fowler for, you could say, making a bogey on the last hole after 4 days of playing golf there and winning that tournament. Johnny Miller made it seem like, well, it wasn't really that great because he kind of won ugly. So let's start there and just go. Let him have
it. Yes. So obviously 17, you know, he puts in the water there. Not ideal, but he gets up and down. Only makes bogey there, which is pretty fantastic. Now, he makes bogey at 18, but he had a 5-shot lead at this point. Now, 18's no joke. It's so, I mean, I know we've seen in the past Rory get there in two and Tiger get there in two, and we've seen guys get there in two and hit these miraculous shots, but guess what? 5-shot lead, he doesn't need to hit a miraculous shot. So what does he do? He hits a safe drive in the middle of the fairway. He lays up on his second shot. He pushes his third shot left of the green into that bunker to avoid any chance of going into the water there. To the right, he splashes out of the bunker, 2-putt, walk off, game over, 4-shot lead. And may I add, he was 1 shot shy of breaking the tournament scoring record for PGA National.
Yeah, but that PGA doesn't National, matter. Doesn't matter.
No, that doesn't matter either. I'm just saying, you know, Johnny Miller's saying it wasn't a good win. It didn't mean anything, really, dude.
Oh.
Well, he almost had the scoring record for PGA National, which, by the way, I've played that course before. I've barely broken 100. I've felt like it kicked my you-know-what,
yep.
And I was not playing during Honda time. So it's like he did what he needed to do for the win. The fact that he had that 5-shot lead in the first place going into 18 goes to show how dominant he was earlier in the week. Now, yes, was he sloppy on Sunday? Absolutely. Did he do what he needed to do to get it done? Absolutely as well. So, you know, I don't typically have a huge problem with Johnny Miller for the most part. I enjoy hearing what he has to say because he'll say what a lot of other guys won't. But I was vehemently against what he said coming on the stretch there about Ricky on Sunday.
Yeah, well, I'm glad for you, but I can't listen to him. I'm on mute, except when I know they're at a hole where my friend Peter Jacobson is. Then I'll put the sound back on. As soon as they leave Peter, I hit the mute button. And, oh, by the way, just to finish this discussion, I believe I saw where Ricky Fowler was 57 for 57 on 7-foot putts and in.
Yep.
I mean,
perfect from that point in. Yes.
On those greens. Yeah.
Nonetheless.
Is that not good enough for you, Johnny? Is that not good?
I mean,
all right. Yeah.
You're basically putting on grass on those greens. I mean, or glass. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Obviously, they are grass. You're basically putting on glass on those greens. And yeah, so 7-foot or perfect from 7 feet in.
Unbelievable. All right. So we got Ricky winning again. Now that leads us into this year, the season, which is, we got to remember, it started before the new year, the wraparound season. But is this going to be the year, is any guy over the age of 30 going to win a golf tournament on the PGA Tour this year? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It'll happen because Phil's finally going to break through and get another win. So, yeah, it'll happen.
Oh, okay.
Phil's going to win again.
Okay.
But, I mean, wow. If we haven't had, I mean, if you, the PGA Tour, the people running the PGA Tour, fans of golf, could not have asked for a better start to a calendar year when you're trying to forget about Tiger Woods in the start to this calendar year that we have had from Hawaii on. Now, that's not knocking, you know, the, you know, it's not knocking the wraparound because Justin Thomas obviously got a win in the wraparound. But if you just start from Hawaii on, mm-hmm. the list of winners that we have seen on the PGA Tour is just absolutely phenomenal. And if you still don't think that that the game can be grown and thrive without Tiger Woods looking at that list of winners, then I'm sorry, then this game of golf really is not for you to be watching anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. And when you think about the number of people, I had a list the other day, which of course I can't find now, of people that have won four PGA Tour events by the age of 23, and all these guys are on it. Matsuyama, all the guys that are playing now, it's fantastic.
Even Ricky Fowler, I mean, that was his fourth win, so he's at four wins. Obviously, he's a little older than 23 now, but hey, four wins before the age of 30, still nothing to sneeze at.
Right, and we have so many of them, and it's going to be it's just a fantastic year already on the PGA Tour. All right.
I mean, when a guy like Dustin Johnson has kind of become the old man on tour, that's how you know that this tour is young right now.
Yeah. And by the way, I hate Johnny Miller. I hate Dustin, too. I'm just telling you. Well,
all right, then.
No, I hate him because he's number one in the world. He hits it 360. Now he knows how to use his wedges. And he's married to Paulina Gretzky, and Wayne Gretzky's his father-in-law. I mean,
so maybe it's a little more of an envy than hatred.
No,
hatred,
I prefer to call it hatred. It's the same way I feel about Tom Brady. It's the exact same feeling.
Yeah. Hey, I can relate on that one.
All right, since we brought him up, this is flowing perfectly. Let's talk about Tiger. Because we haven't done the show, people who listen, I've talked about this during the week, too. Everybody knows how much I love Tiger, and I always have been a huge Tiger fan, and I hate when he's not around, as great as the young guys are. And when he signed up and came out and said, I'm playing four events in 5 weeks, and, oh, yeah, I'm getting on a plane, and I'm going to Dubai and coming back and then playing, I had a feeling this was going to happen. I think a lot of people did. Tell me your thoughts on Tiger right now. I saw he had lunch with Rory this week. And Rory says he's working very hard, and he actually feels like he may be able to play in the Masters. I don't believe anything. I want to, but I can't believe anything anymore, and it wouldn't shock me if he can't play anymore either.
Yeah, I started doing cartwheels, not literally, obviously, but figuratively started doing cartwheels when he made that announcement about the 4 and 5 week stretch. Obviously, I grew up in the quote-unquote Tiger era,
mm-hmm.
so... I owe Tiger, you know, my career, you could say, is owed to him, because who would really be interested in reading that much about golf if it wasn't for him, because a lot of people got into golf because of him.
Right.
We owe this current group of kids, you know, is owed to Tiger, because they grew up watching Tiger, and they might not have wanted to play golf if it wasn't for Tiger. So, it's tough to see, obviously, from that standpoint. It's gotten to a point now where I've kind of gone the same route as you. I'll believe it when I see it, just because you get your hopes up so much, and then it doesn't happen, and then just a giant letdown. I think if he does play Augusta, and he doesn't go perform well at Augusta, a place where he's won so many times, and is such a good course he's had such success on, if he can't show up at Augusta and play well, I think that's going to be it for him. I think whether he wants to or not, it's going to become time where he's just going to have to say, okay, if I can't do it here, where am I going to be able to do it anymore? And maybe just, you know, have to look into hanging them up.
Yeah, it's really sad. And we all hope that, obviously, that he feels better and he can. It'd be great to see him just in contention again.
Absolutely.
You know? So, all right, finally, there was another big happening this week in golf, and that's the proposed rules changes. Some of them are very significant. They're not talking about the one I want, but that's the way it goes.
I'm guessing that's the same one that I want, which is the divots in the fairway rule.
That's absolutely right.
I don't know about you, but I play that way now. If my ball lands into a divot, I just move it right out of the way.
Yeah.
I don't move it closer or further away. I just move it to the right or to the left.
Yep. And you know what's good enough for me is that Jack Nicklaus is totally in favor of changing that rule.
Absolutely.
So if it's good enough for Jack, It's good enough for me. That's for the rest
yeah,
of us.
Right? Exactly.
But any quick feelings on there are 100 of them, and they don't take effect until 2019. And obviously, most of these have to do with the pros. But there are a couple that when you know we play, it's a game of integrity. Anything that stands out to you?
Yeah, for the most part, I think they did a good job. I think it was a good start. And as I said, a good start, not a good overall, because obviously we've already talked about the one big one I think needs to come into play at some point, which is that divot rule. But
right.
For the most part, I think it's a good start. I think they've done a good job of simplifying the rules and using more common sense. You know, the DJ rule comes into play from last year's U.S. Open. As of 2019, that won't matter anymore. Taking the drops are going to become less complicated now. Instead of having to figure out if it's a one-club length, two-club length, hey, just pick up your ball near it, drop it in a certain radius, you're good to go, keep on moving.
Right.
I like from the amateur side, I do like the fact that now, at least in, you know, when you're playing with your buddies, it might not necessarily matter, but in regulated play, you now have 3 minutes instead of five to look for your ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's good just because, A, it'll speed up the game a little bit, and B, and this is why I'm really thinking it's going to be good, at least I'm hoping this will be the case, hopefully these clubs and these golf courses for when the amateurs are out there will cut down some of this rough and make it easier to find your ball in a short amount of time.
Right.
Because we're not playing the U.S. Open. You and I are not playing the U.S. Open. Why am I having a hack at a six deep rough on a regular Saturday with a couple of buddies of mine? I'm not, you know.
I agree.
So, and think about how much time is spent with people playing golf with walking around literally just stamping through the rough and hoping
yeah.
they step on their ball or look for it.
Yeah,
so
oh yeah.
Maybe now since it's cut down to 3 minutes, maybe some of these courses will cut down on some of their, you know,
just
heavily,
the time.
You know, grass
yeah.
areas. Yeah,
it's awesome.
Down, you know, it'll cut down the time. Hopefully, they'll cut down some of the grass a little bit.
Yeah.
Range finders. What took so long?
Yeah.
For these range finders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, what took so long? They've been in existence for a decade now. Why was it taking this long for them to finally be okayed? Now, obviously, the PGA Tour has already come out and said that they can use what's, you know, quote unquote a local rule to prevent pros from using that during tournament play. Whatever.
Right.
You want to walk it off still with your caddy, you want to have your little book, fine. But the rest of us can finally enjoy our rangefinders guilt-free.
Yeah.
Thank you. Finally. About time.
All right.
I don't get guilty by my buddy anymore for using the rangefinder on my Saturday game. Win-win for all.
All right.
Other than that, though, yeah, I think the rules, the key is it's simplifying the game of golf, which
yes.
makes it easier for people to play because they'll be able to learn the rules and understand the rules better, which means they'll ultimately enjoy playing more.
Well, this is a heck of a way to start my season off, and you'll be joining me again very soon because you're just great. You're awesome, and I'll talk to you soon, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Okay, Dan.
Season.
See ya. All right. Well, that'll do it for this first edition of the season of Backspin Golf. That was a lot of fun. Check out my brother's podcasts. Once again, it's part of the Golf News Net platform, and it's the Talking Golf Getaways podcast. I need another cup of coffee, Sean. You can hear it on Audio Boom, iTunes, or Stitcher. You can check out Dan Houser. He's fantastic on all his Twitter accounts and websites. And Perry French, of course. Get yourself some Strix on golf balls. I'll just tell you that. They're fantastic. Of course, I play with Strix on clubs, too, which ever since I got them, I couldn't be happier. Of course, WGC Mexico City will wrap up today. Wild. It's been wild. You know, I played golf at altitude for a whole summer in Utah once, and it's great. Because you hit the ball 15 yards, 20 yards further than you normally would. These guys on the PGA Tour at altitude in Mexico City, holy granola. I have no idea what that means. And I, for one, am glad that they're in Mexico City. I think it's a great thing for the PGA Tour. We'll be back next Sunday, same time, 8 a.m., and we'll take you through some more great stuff from the world of golf right here on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Have a great Sunday.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.